The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. We're here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5 on an historic morning. Never have we gotten together for a show where the Astros had lost 9 straight home games. 9 straight freaking home games.
And so terrible.
And when they went up, when the Astros led 1-0, it was like, okay, got to hold on now, got to shut them out. And then Colorado comes right back with 2, the game was over. The game was freaking over. That's how pitiful this offense is. It is historically bad. They have not had, now it's a record, but I thought I heard last night that they had lost 10 straight in 1962. And
this is the defending world champs playing against not superpowers. They're not playing against superpowers currently.
No, I mean, these are 2 good teams. Don't get me wrong. Seattle and Colorado. No,
not
I mean,
enough to beat you 9 times in a row.
No. And Texas champs. Is part of this, too, by the way.
Oh, by the way, you lead the division and you're defending champs. The Astros are now 32-29 at home. They're 3 away from being a 500 team at home as defending champs.
And there's no end in sight, if you want to know the truth. They got this game. Thank God they go on the road to Oakland and Seattle and then L.A., but this is where the division is going to be made, if you want to know the truth. I had thought, well, come on, they're going to pull out. They're going to be able to right the ship and, you know, all this stuff about the A's and Seattle. It's starting to get scary.
So this is why Vegas win totals can go sideways on you quickly. I don't have one. But when we looked at the Astros, it always feels like whatever was most recent is the way that it will always be. But seasons just go, you know, seasons take turns. And the Astros right now are they're in a real funk. It's not just a one-month deal, because that's about what it is. I mean, they've had their ups and downs, but they haven't been playing like the champs. And yeah, we know about the injuries and all that, but the problem is they're not finding ways to win at home. They're finding ways to not knock runners
in. To not score any runs.
Nothing. And this is...
Where do you think they are relative to last year at this point?
In what?
What was their record at this point last year?
Well, they had started taking a downward spiral at this time, too, so they're probably very similar, actually.
1 game behind.
Yeah.
They're 1 game behind last year's pace.
But the big difference to me is that this year's team, you question, okay, so it doesn't look like Altuve's going on a road trip now. Jeff Leno said, looks like Altuve's not going on a road trip. That's not a great sign. Georgie is expected to be back at the end of this week. But the other thing is, anytime you win at the highest level, a World Series, a Super Bowl, or whatever, I know it's impossible for media and fans and anyone to think there could possibly be a letdown, but there is always a concern of a natural letdown after you win a championship, because you know no matter what happens, you still have that. And it's not like you don't play any harder or you don't do all these things, but the instances of teams taking steps back, it's about 80% in every sport.
Yeah, well, and especially in baseball, it's awfully difficult because of the long season and all the highs and lows. But I don't think that this was a letdown team. I think that this is an injury kind of thing. I think this is a problem with, not having Altuve in your lineup, I mean, is when the MVP is out and your catalyst in Springer is out, and basically Correa hasn't been there for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and this is a guy that's supposed to be an MVP. I mean, this is the heart, this is your foundation, and you don't have any of it. So I don't know, and there's still time to pull this out. And, oh, by the way, you know, your starting pitching, if you can get the kind of starting pitching from Verlander and Morton, and that's what, this is what they're supposed to do. You got to score some runs.
Make
you,
a
you
play.
Can't, you can't, you
score
can't,
some runs.
You can't expect them to throw one or shutout ball every
no,
night.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to. And by the way, the other day, they did score, they did have, what was it, like 40 some odd hits in a three game stretch. I mean, it's not like they can't get any hits at all. They have got to do, the bullpen has to be great right now. Starting pitching has to be good. Bullpen has to be great, and they've got to hit with men in scoring position. I'm not saying that they're going to kill it, but I mean, you've got to do a better job with men, when men are on base, of coming up with some clutch hits. Yesterday, they got nothing going. There was no chance of anything, basically, other than one inning, and that was it. And then as the game went on, it was like you could just feel it rolling out like control. There's Verlander, by the way, takes another loss. He's 11-8. He's three games away from 500. Justin Verlander.
Yeah. Who was the Cy Young favorite.
Yeah, whose ERA, by the way, I think went down just a little bit. Maybe up by two. He's a 252, but
That's still awesome, and he's only 11-8 because they haven't hit for him. It is starting to get, there's no question, it's starting to get scary. But
is it the Osuna curse? Is it the curse of Osuna?
Well, listen, he may have torn apart that locker room. I'm just kidding. They just can't hit. How about they just can't hit right now? And you're right. At the beginning of the month, 8-3, 2-1, 14-0. They were, you know, this is against the Dodgers, 14-0.
By the way, all those guys, the same guys were out.
And then they lost 3-2. Then they won 3-1. Then won 2-1. And then they went on this run. So there's no question that they can pull out. But they have got to be able to put something together. And they got to get healthy. That's the key to this whole thing. And they will. They may go down. They may fall to third place. This team is going to win the division, though. They're going to pull out, and they're going to be able to hit it hard in September and win this division. And it's going to be a fun ride again. But they need, you know what? It wouldn't be bad for Luno. I keep on seeing our buddy Ian keeps on putting out their Chu. Put on waivers, pick up Sinshoo Chu from the Rangers. Wouldn't it be something if the Rangers actually helped the Astros win another World Series?
It would be nice.
That would be totally sweet.
You know where I was? This is how fast this can change. You know where I was last night? I was at the Skeeters. I took my family.
I saw Marty and Snacks out there.
Yeah, and so we went, and Alec and Mason, me and my wife. Great time. Great, great time. Such a great park. Kids had a great time. Derek Norris, you remember him? All-star catcher.
Yeah.
Back in 2015, he plays for
with the
Skeeters.
A's? Was Derek Norris with the A's?
Was it with the A's or was it with like the Rockies? Who was he with?
Okay.
Maybe it was. He plays for the Skeeters right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And they, you know, it's just like he had some issues with, I don't know, there were some kind of issues with him. And there's some belief that this is his penance because he's out of the major leagues, and there's a thought that he'll play there. You know, the Skeeters have had 12 players this year off their roster.
He started with Oakland, and he ended up with San Diego.
Okay.
Then Tampa.
He's one of the guys who plays for the Skeeters. They've lost 12 players back into the major league systems this year, and they're in first place. But Luke Dykstra, Lenny's son, who just got cut by the Braves organization, he signed with he had base knocks yesterday. He's on the team now. Like, there's all
is
these.
Is he a Lenny Dykstra kind of player?
I don't know. Honestly, I mean, he's barely been there, but I think they consider him a good player. They're like, I was talking to Scott, who's over there, and he just said, it's just going to be a ton. He said, there's just going to be a bunch of guys. We've already lost 12 back into the major league systems.
That's great.
He said, guys just come here. And they've got, you know who helps them is Bo Porter also is real big into independent league stuff. And, you know, and Pete Incaviglia works directly with agents to get guys over there. But a lot of guys realize that if you go to the Skeeters, you got a good chance to get back into the and work with Pete Incaviglia. You got a chance to get back into the league.
You also got a good chance to lose your job because a guy could come in at any second and take, you know, a good player. Could
well, you
come
know what
in.
They do? This is crazy. They only keep five infielders, four outfielders, and the rest are pitchers. So it's like if you're a fielder, you're going to get a hit a lot.
Yeah.
You get a lot of ABs. Yeah. A lot of ABs. So you can have a chance to get into a groove and show what you can do. So you'd recognize some of the names. Matt Chavez has been in the bigs. He's in the middle of their lineup. And so I got to study the lineup. That's always interesting. Going to the game and seeing all these guys, because I didn't realize how many of them got back into the league. And they're like, oh, yeah, we've lost 12 guys already back into the organization.
It's like last chance you without all the...
It actually is. He said 60% of their roster at the 60% of their roster at any given time was in the big leagues, the bigs, at some point within the last 2 years.
Trying to make their way back.
At some point within the last 2 years.
It's like last chance you without Jason Brown dropping F-bombs on everybody.
Oh, you mean the guy who followed me on Twitter yesterday, Jason Brown?
No way.
I got nervous when he followed me. I'm like...
Wait a minute. Maybe I got to follow.
Well, maybe it's because I said something about him on Twitter and he's searching his name and he's like, I'm going to follow you. But he started following a bunch of college football people. So that may have been why. But
I want Jason Brown to follow me.
Just say something. He likes to, when people talk bad about him, he responds in hashtags. Hashtag, I'm not looking for your approval. Hashtag, I don't care what you think. All his conversations with people
are these super long hashtags. Is that not Jason Brown, though?
It was completely perfect. He goes, I'll bet you'll be watching season four, though, was a hashtag. Hashtag, I'll bet you'll be watching season four, though.
He said that.
Yeah.
This is the longest commercial for the Skeeters I've ever heard. JD, this is not a commercial for the Skeeters. Lance went last night. And actually,
it is on here, commercials, but it's true. I mean, yeah, I'll just do it right now. I'll just tell you right now. We went to the Skeeters, and I took the kids, and we had a great time. Now, at one point, the kids were in the inflatable combat area where you have the little, you know, the batons that you can, with the padding on both ends that you can hit the other kid with, and Snacks and Mason ended up getting into a borderline fist fight in there. I had to pull them out. They had to go. There's a basketball area now out in left center field, so they went out there. This is, of course, after they had the ice cream buffet. But they ran out there to the outfield and started shooting jumpers for about an entire inning. The food is fantastic. I'll give you an example. If you go up into the Insperity Lounge, which is their higher-priced tickets, think of it like the Diamond Level or whatever. The tickets are about $55 a person, but let me tell you what you get. Unlimited food buffet with... pulled pork. Yesterday was pulled pork sandwiches and fries. They had shrimp and grits. They had macaroni and cheese and brine chicken with broccoli. Like your choice, they have a hot dog area. They have nacho area. You can have as much of it as you want anytime. Then in the fourth inning, they bring out the ice cream social, and you can go get yourself ice cream or cake or cookies. And they have a bar there. Now, that's not open bar and buffet style, but... that's up there for you to enjoy as well. It's air conditioned. So if you want to live high on the hog without paying those huge prices that you'd have to pay with the big league teams, go out to the Skeeters. If you want to just go for two for Tuesdays like we did to get two tickets for the price of one, you can do that as well. Margarita Mondays. There's so many different things. Thirsty Thursdays coming up tomorrow. It is a great time at the ballpark. It's beautiful, and it's a chance for you to, especially if you have kids, bring them out to the ballpark before school starts and let them work out that energy. I promise you, you're going to see a good baseball team, too. Number one right now in the Independent League. It's SugarlandSkeeters.com. Like a startling sign, the fate had finally found me.
Enjoy. Yo. I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew. And we gon' show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig? Okay. Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red and I cannot get them off. You can catch me in my coat.
All right, 716 ESPN 97.5 7370 3776. All right, Skeeters baseball, all Skeeters baseball, all the time, right here on ESPN 97.5. No, it was nice. You guys had a nice time. I saw Maddie out there. She looks just like your wife.
Yeah, we did have a great time.
She looks just like your wife. That is unbelievable.
She loves going to that game, the games more than anybody.
She does?
Yeah.
What they just, what are they, what's.
She's out cheering. Woo! She gets all excited about it. Dad, I just love the Skeeters. I said, well, good, baby.
That's nice. Good for her.
She gets all into it and excited.
Yeah. All right. Let's get Jeff in here. Let's talk about getting a bat for our Houston Astros. What do you say there, Jeff?
Hey, guys. So it's incredibly painful that Luno keeps doing things after the fact. I wish he would be like the Oakland A's. GM being proactive, how the A's got fires and that other reliever from Minnesota. Because Luno should have gotten the first base bat. We need a Jose Abreu-type bat because Yuli Gurriel is essentially playing like a utility player in terms of power. And, you know, he could be a great pinch hitter in clutch situations. But we clearly need an infield bat at the first base position because if you look at the Red Sox, you look at every other playoff team, they have a guy who can hit 30-plus homers a game. I know Springer's out. I know Altuve's out. But we're bleeding, we're hemorrhaging, and Shin Soo Chu would be great in the outfield, but we also need another power bat at the first base, in my opinion. And I want to get y'all's thoughts on that because come playoff time, the Indians have two monsters that can hit homers. We may not have a fully healthy Altuve or a fully healthy Springer, depending on the severity of those injuries.
Yeah. So I would say, Chase said this, about the same thing as you did there, Jeff. Is this on Luno? I'm of the opinion, no. Listen, at the time, at the trade deadline, you didn't need it. And, oh, by the way, they wish the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and the Yankees all wish they had the Astros offense last year in the playoffs. Okay, so Yuli was just fine, and Yuli has been just fine and actually above average. I guess you needed an Abreu. Now, when you look back and you see Altuve's not in the lineup and Springer's not in the lineup and Correa hasn't been in the lineup, yeah, you could use a power bat. Absolutely. It would be nice if Evan Gattis wasn't as streaky as he is. We loved Gattis about a month and a half ago because he's unbelievable. Caveman, look at what Caveman. Now look what Caveman's doing. What is he, last 0 for his last 90? So, yeah, it would be nice, but I think that we're – It's an armchair quarterback in here. Who knew that they were going to have all these injuries? And this lineup was just fine. Oh, by the way, if Correa did what Correa is supposed to do, isn't he supposed to hit home runs? Isn't Springer out of the leadoff spot, despite that he's a leadoff man? He is supposed to hit home runs. He's not there. Altuve's power numbers all were down for the most part at the beginning of the season. Gurriel's power numbers, yes, absolutely down. But nobody's doing what they did last year. Nobody. Right. Nobody is doing what they did last year except Bregman.
Right.
So it sure would be nice.
They're not doing anything. Jeff Leno's not giving anything away. He's not picking anyone up off waivers. He's not. He might pick somebody off waivers.
No, he could pick up a.
He could claim as long as he doesn't have to give.
Well,
he will have to give prospects up if he makes a claim on somebody. But
well, here's the deal is, first of all.
No one worth a crap is leaving this organization. Jeff Leno is not doing that for a bat.
First of all, Lenny says, don't get your hopes up for Chu. He's got to get past the Indians first. And
he's a big Indian fan, too, by the way. Lenny J?
Yeah. Yeah, I see his Indian. He's got past the Indians first, and he's played for us before. Oh, he's played for the Indians before. He's saying us. Yeah. I thought he meant the Astros.
No. I was telling you he's an Indian fan.
So he's an Indian guy. Oh, I get it. Okay, so he's got to get past the Indians first. Well, chances are he'll clear waivers, and then it's who's going to be the best trade partner. Unless the Indians do claim him and want to pick up his contract, that's fine. That's fine. But for the most part, usually these guys, they clear waivers, and then you work out a deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, and oh, by the way, they do have issues with Martin going on, being sick. He's got some kind of infection or something.
So they could lose him for sure.
Yeah, so he may be done. So, no, they've got issues. And, oh, by the way, okay, if it's not Chu, you know, who knew it was going to be Verlander last year? I'm sure Jeff Leno is working right now. Now his job is to pick somebody up at a great value, which is what he always does. And get somebody in here before the September 1st deadline. Is this on Luno, though? Is this in your mind?
No, I don't. No, I don't put this one. I just don't think you could see being active when you have three players who are core players who have been injured. Yeah. How do you?
Not only core. That's your lineup.
And I think it's premature to say that this team's not going to hit later in the year. I think there was a legitimate concern based on your past history with the bullpen. How would you hold up in the playoffs? Right now, you're just trying to hang on for the playoffs. But I don't put any of this on Jeff Leno from a hitting standpoint, because we're talking about Carlos Correa, George Springer, Jose Altuve. I don't care about that. But those three guys, those are major. So when they are all healthy, I'm not sure that team's not going to hit. Now, are they going to be Crush City or whatever? I don't know that's going to be the case. We've seen the home runs just go way down for a lot of players. But I do think when you throw Bregman in there, and Yuli may not hit with a lot of power, he can still knock runs in when men are in scoring position. I think they actually could still be okay with the bats. That we just have top guys not playing. Top guys are not playing. How could Jeff Leno have seen this coming with Jose Altuve before trade deadline?
Or Springer.
But you think he would have
Springer
given away,
sliding into second base. How do you know that?
You think he would have given away anybody?
Jeff Leno doesn't want to move
prospects anyway.
Well, here's the deal. Big Aggie Steve. Amazing how building a World Series team still means you're an idiot during a slump. Yeah, I don't know if he's an idiot. Ty says, stupidest call ever. Gurriel to the bench. Callers suck sometimes. No, I don't think he meant Gurriel to the bench. If Gurriel could play, ideally George Springer is out there in center field. Ideally. Ideally, Josh Reddick is actually someone who could hit consistently because you gave him a four-year deal worth, what was it, 64? How much is he making?
Ideally.
Ideally, Josh Reddick is actually performing.
Was he in the 60s or 50s?
I don't know.
56?
So ideally, he's in right field and actually hitting. In left field, I don't know. Sure would be nice if Kyle Tucker ate a cheeseburger or something and was able to. It seems like every at bat, it's like, it seems like he's hitting with a wet noodle. Come on, dude. The ball just. And you think it jumps off.
I would have never been clamoring for Kyle Tucker if I'd known he weighed 100. If he looked like DJ Qualls.
Well, I knew what he looked like. I just was like, I thought the ball jumped off his bat. Instead, it's like every hit is like, it's like he's like 90 years old, and it just it's barely getting off the bat and getting to short. A 17 hopper to short. Oh my God! Hit the ball with some authority.
That's the best prospect in your system. You can't feel like that.
Oh my God.
About him.
Well, it would be nice. And a guy starts slow. Bregman started slow.
Yeah.
Guys start slow. He's got a chance. Don't get me wrong. But good Lord, it would be nice if he came up with a hit every once in a while. If it was he in left field, or if Gurriel had, if you got Abreu and Gurriel moved to left field, okay. So you're not as good defensively, but man, you would be a lot better offensively. It would be totally sweet. Or you put Gurriel at third and Bregman goes to left field. But you want that defense at third, which is what Bregman, he certainly does help you a lot there. But, man, Correa's not himself. Altuve's not there. There's nothing that Jeff Luno could do about this.
Nothing that he could do about that. That's why I don't. This now, right now, I'm in wait and see how it plays out mode. Like, I was in a little bit of a panic about getting an arm. They got an arm. Maybe not exactly what I was hoping for, but Jeff Leno did something. Two things. Presley also. And Osuna. But I just... right now, it's just a wait. For me, it's a waiting game. You've done what you've done. I don't see anything else coming down the chute. Jeff can want a bat. I mean, getting a good bat would be great in a perfect world. That's simply not going to happen now. This is who the Astros are. But I say this is who they are. This is who they are without the guys who they're going to be relying on. So you just have to nut up, win some games without those guys, learn to win a freaking game at home, and then we'll see what happens let's see what happens in 2 to 3 weeks. Altuve thing, I mean, he's not making a road trip either, I guess.
And this is a long road trip. So if there's anything that you can maybe criticize, it's he's been too conservative. The Real Muto thing would have been really, really nice.
Yeah.
McCann is probably, even if McCann comes back.
You don't like Machado?
He's about done. Maldonado is a 210 hitter.
I know. He's just a defensive guy.
You mean he's a defensive guy? You know,
and he's Verlander's personal cat.
Yeah, now, because he doesn't like throwing to Stassi.
I know.
He doesn't. He doesn't
so
like
that's why they had to do something.
They have, yeah, but they, right. He doesn't like throwing to Stassi, and that's fine. Stassi has been a lifesaver in that he actually gave you some offense. But if there's one thing that maybe you can criticize, Maldonado instead of Real Muto, you know, Real Muto, you got him under control. He would be your catcher years.
Yeah, Real Muto would have been
your catcher for years.
So Chase did say, I definitely get the injury part of it, but I kept reading the stuff with Real Muto all year or trying to get a left fielder at the deadline. That would have helped line up. You know, the left fielder thing was a real thing. That was out there. Richard Justice talked about it. That was a real question mark. That's why people started, you know, what about the Astros and Bryce Harper? That's the whole reason that Bryce Harper came up is because there was talk about an outfielder. But that's if you realize Kyle Tucker's not going to be your guy this year. And it's, you know, it's looking unlikely unless he just all of a sudden it just magically clicks for him. So, yeah, they were looking at outfielder. But one thing we know with Jeff Leneau now, he made the Carlos Gomez deal. He got burned. He was very hesitant to make the deal for any pitching before the deadline last year. He did, under some duress for Justin Verlander, worked out great. The Giles deal, which from a few years back, worked out badly. Was it under his watch with J.D. Martinez leaving or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he and Bo Porter. Porter made the decision. Well, Bo Porter didn't want to give him any at-bats when he had changed his swing in the offseason. And he immediately turned into it. And Bo Porter,
you don't think
Bo
that,
Porter was just done with
it. Do you think that kind of low-key, underrated, under the radar is one of the things that makes Jeff Leneau go,
No. He said it in the book.
I know.
Yeah.
I just you don't make those mistakes. Let guys go.
You make those mistakes. That's all. And that was a huge mistake.
That's a big one right there.
729 ESPN 97.
I wish we had steaks right now.
God. What is that? And Arthur, you know what? I'm going to get in his kitchen.
Yeah. It's a little early for steak, guys, but not early for us. I mean.
No, but it's not. What? Oh, you don't think that a nice filet, Del Frisco's filet and eggs would be a nice way to start your day today? If you don't think that, then you're stupid in my mind. Because a nice Del Frisco filet is good. And listen, if you want the premier steak, and oh my God, if you have ever had now bone-in filet, you hear that, or bone-in ribeye, you hear that all the time. They've got bone-in filet as well. It's fantastic. I mean, you can go wet aged or dry aged. You can go Wagyu. It is spectacular. The meat. The cut of meat that they have at Del Frisco's is second to none. And if you're looking for the premier steak, you want to take somebody out, you want to impress clients, you want to impress a girl. And oh, by the way, you can do it relatively cheap. I mean, honestly, for $59, you can get the steak, the salad or soup with a lump crab cake and a side dish. And I recommend the spinach, the steamed spinach. It's unbelievable. It's so good. But to the asparagus is excellent. Everything is awesome. You got to get it at Del Frisco Steakhouse. Oh, the baked potato, huge, huge. If you're looking for the best deal, it's that $59 pair or the $26.50 businessman lunch. Spectacular. All at Del Frisco Steakhouse in the Galleria. Parking, everything. Oh, you got it all. Del Frisco Steakhouse. Tell you heard it right here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Childish Altuve says no white guy should be allowed to play in the infield. Bregman's Latino, unless his name is Seth Beer. Beer time. Yeah. Right. If his number is 30 It would be. It will be awesome.
Did you see the little kid who could do the 2.5-year-old baby in a diaper doing all the Astros batting stances?
No.
It's phenomenal. They just keep calling out to this baby like, do Yuli. And he's like, this kid is
this
so
has to
good.
Be on the interwebs.
Go look at my Twitter. I have to do it during the break.
No, I'll do it right now.
What was that?
You can get the baby out of here.
You can get the baby out of here.
You can get the baby out of here.
What is that from?
Is that Trump?
It was, I think during either his campaign where a baby was crying and he goes, you can get the baby. No, the baby's fine. No, you can get the baby out of here.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Did you see where the Amit Shah, BJP president Amit Shah, accidentally dropped the national flag while hoisting it? And no one was all too... I guess he is about as unpopular with people there as Trump is or something.
Who is it?
It was Amit Shah. I don't know who he is.
Who's where?
BJP president. What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's a bunch of people there. They wear kind of funny clothes, so I don't know where it is.
Wear funny clothes. You ever look in the streets of Texas? There's people who wear funny clothes here too. Like, hey, it looks like your dreams have been shredded to. It looks like a bear attacked you.
Yeah, but this is where, you know, they're not wearing a lot of pants. The guys are wearing like long skirts. I mean, it's not like Chandler Parsons. Everybody's dressed like Chandler Parsons.
Okay.
It's India.
Oh, it's India?
Yes.
Okay.
BJP is one of the major political parties.
Okay.
Oh, it's a political party.
Okay. Don't know what that means.
What was I going to... Oh, man, I had something I wanted to bring up to you. Let me see if I can find it.
All right. Let's get Terry in here in the meantime. Hey, Terry, what's going on?
Reverse, Terry! Top of the morning, guys.
Top of the
morning. This might seem like a little silly question, but I'm actually being serious with it. Carlos Correa, he's been on the team for 2 years now, correct?
Yeah, 3 years now.
He's in the big 2 years.
3 years.
This is his fourth year.
He's been, what, 3.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he's been injured 2 of the last 2.5, 3 years. And missed significant time. And the guy's a young man. Now, the batting one last year, I mean, that was a freak injury. I understand that. But this year, I mean, how did he hurt his back? Does anybody know how he hurt his back? Was he playing ball or just woke up one morning and was hurting or any idea?
No idea.
Okay. Well, I mean, next year and the year after, let's just say if he continues getting these, you know, odd injuries and so forth, Do y'all try to re-sign him to a long-term deal, or we all have the impression like, well, this guy gets hurt every year, you know, he does us no good, this and that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the Astros, I love Correa, but man, I mean, he's like on the DL more than he is on the field, it seems like. Well, what do y'all think about that? Or say if a Mike Trout for Correa deal comes up, would y'all do that?
Mike Trout for Correa.
What?
Yeah,
Where's that? Why in the world
would they give away Mike Trout?
Yeah, they're not
put
doing
it in reverse,
that.
Terry.
Come on, Terry, put it in reverse. Why in the world would they? You know what we need to do? Get that injured pitcher from the Astros, and let's see. I mean, that injured shortstop, and let's give them Mike Trout.
So after this season, he's got 3 years of arbitration left. Okay. So that's what happens when you bring him in up after the May 22nd deal. You get that extra year. And so basically he's going to have 7 full years before he can become a free agent. So you got 3 years left. He'll cost you maybe, it depends. If he doesn't start hitting and he only plays so many games, I could certainly see you getting Correa next year for $5, $6, $7 million. Right now he's costing you $1 million, $1 million this season.
Yeah.
Next year, Springer, you did a deal where you gave him $25 million over 2 years, $12.5 million a year. You might have to give Correa that kind of stuff. But quite frankly, Carlos Correa, well, I think that the expectations have been overblown. They were right.
But Correa was a star player.
He was. No.
He's a star player potential.
He's got potential, and he was rookie of the year. And all fine and good, but he has not been. If you right now, Carlos Correa is supposed to be an MVP candidate.
He had a 950 OPS last year. That was really good.
He is about where would you rank him right now in shortstops in the American League?
I mean, yeah, that's tough. I would say this. I don't think it's out of. I don't think it's. To me, expecting Carlos Correa to be a superstar is not too much. I do expect him to be a superstar. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's not going to be that good. I wrote an article about it. You had talked about it, which was the impetus for my article on SportsMap about it. Maybe we've set our sights too high. I still think there's time for him to become that, but he hasn't become. I would say he's a star caliber player. I don't think he's a superstar yet. Superstars are at the top of the food chain in their sport, and that's not Carlos Correa right now. Now, he had a 950 OPS, which is maybe higher than you would have expected last year because he didn't have 40 home runs. But he had a lot of extra base hits. The injury thing has been a little bit of a concern this early in his career. I think that's a little bit of a concern. But I don't know. I just – they're not going to look to deal him. They're not going to look to – Mike Trout's not going to be on the market. None of that stuff there.
It'll be interesting to see, though, what he gets paid. Because last year he played 109 games. This year he's 77 games. He's got to finish strong. His OPS, well, he was a 940 OPS last year. His 801 right now. Mm-hmm. For a guy that is considered one of the best shortstops, young players in the game, it's not good enough.
Well, if he's not been a superstar, injured. You don't give him that money that he's going to want. Because Scott Boras is going to be looking for a $40 million a year deal or whatever it is in about 3 years. And you don't give it to him if he's not a superstar. That's, you just don't, as much as it may hurt. If the Yankees or some team want to give him $40 million, you're going to have to go just Daryl Morey style and let him walk.
It'll be
for
interesting.
$40
million? It'll be interesting to see what Boras's number is and what the Astros' number is and whether or not they have to go to arbitration. Because it may come down to that.
I think
Boras's number is going to be around 12 or 13, around Springer number. And right now, he just doesn't deserve it. He's got to finish strong.
He's got to stay on the field.
For the rest of this year, he's got to stay on the field. He's got to start hitting.
John, what's the best ability you can have?
Health.
Availability.
Oh.
Yeah. See what I coach talked to you. You're welcome. It's not a dad joke.
It's a dad joke.
I saw all over your face.
No.
Well, kind of.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
That was a coach speak.
No.
Do a coach speak. Shoot the coach speak thing off. That's coach speak. There, I did it for
that
you.
That was, no. That was a dad
on
joke.
On your lower back. You just got coach speaked all over your lower back.
Your tramp stamp.
What? You guys don't care. John's already told us before the show. You're like, I'm leaving tomorrow.
I'm out.
You going to PLO today? Are you playing Pot
Limit Omaha? No. I'm jumping. I'm out, right? I'm leaving the show early.
You're not playing Pot Limit Omaha? Today's your holy day.
I know. Today's
a holy day of obligation. Did you know that?
Of Pot Limit Omaha.
No, of church.
What?
Yes.
Today's a...
Yeah. I'll have my wife call you and explain what today is. There's something going on today.
You know when I obey holy days of obligation?
When
they fall on Sunday.
Wait a minute. It's an obligation. You don't get to choose the day.
When they fall.
You are obligated to go.
On Sunday. Where's your wife? Is she telling the kids right now, listen to the bad man?
She went, yeah. We're not supposed to listen to whatever Mr. Granato says. Why, Snacks? Because he says things that are inappropriate. Well, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I heard Mr. Granato say we don't have to go to Holy Day of Obligation. Tell it to Mom.
Which one is better?
My wife must be listening because she just...
What's the Holy Day of Obligation?
Assumption. Today's the Assumption, John.
I don't even know what that means.
You went to Catholic school for
God's sake. I know. I went for 12 years to Catholic school, and I don't even know what Assumption. I heard it all the time, Our Lady of Assumption, Holy Assumption.
I said, yeah, Eric Layden's hosting, and then Raheel, and then Bun B's coming in the 31st, because he's pumping up his new album, by the way. It's getting ready to drop. And because those are days you're going to be out. And she goes, where's he going? I'm like, I don't know. You don't even know where he's going? Like, no, guys, we don't ask. We don't like, so how are your kids?
And where are you going?
She always wants to know, well, how's John Tyler? How's how's Frankie doing? Like, I don't mean, I assume good.
What? I haven't heard any. I haven't heard she's gotten in another accident. So yeah, we're just assuming.
I haven't heard him say this in 2 weeks. Damn it, Frankie. I heard that a couple weeks ago.
That
damn happened. It, Frankie.
Which one's better, Lindor or Correa? It's Lindor right now.
Yeah.
It's Lindor.
Well, just stay healthy and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, in a matter of fact, you've got to watch out for Segura if you want to know the truth. He's pretty damn good. You got to watch out for a lot of guys. You know where he should be right now? Correa should be Manny Machado neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's where he should be.
Oh, now you're saying we're over. See, now you're putting too
but
much
on. But that's where.
Him.
No, that's when you're thought. The number one overall pick, you have all those. You have that fanfare that's coming in. You play your rookie of the year. You should be progressing towards he's that as opposed to regressing.
He does. He has talent. And he has the body type of a guy like A-Rod who should be able to go 30-plus home runs.
What was my number? Yes. 40. I think he'll get there.
I just feel like it's not going to happen.
All right, let's take a break. 746 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. You want to get in there?
Did you see Swag? DJ Swearinger got into it with Terrell Pryor.
I heard.
We'll mention it. Oh, and by the way, during this break, we're going to take a look at the kid doing the batting stances. I think you're going to absolutely love that.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud.
749 ESPN 97.5.
You kind of noticed when it seems
our
like
Our Lady of Assumption. That's why it's Mary is assumed into heaven. I know that. I knew that, Nicole. Okay.
By the way, I've noticed that Dell, when we have problematic Astros talk, is when Dell plays this song. Like, like he plays it ironically, I feel like, sometimes.
Or maybe it's to stop with all the Debbie Downer nonsense. Oh, Correa's not living up to his Astros potential.
Oh, who's in first place, Dell?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Who's in first place?
Who's in first place?
Our destination is clear, and you can tell.
Do you think we'll
right
see
here.
This next week on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, we'll see a fight between Terrence Mitchell and Jarvis Landry.
Look at it, and he throws the ball right in his face.
They had three
Jarvis
fights.
Throws the ball right in his
they
face.
They had three fights at practice yesterday. Greg Williams and Todd Haley got into it, the offensive and defensive coordinators, 2 days ago. This Hard Knocks is going to be... Like, I recorded the one from yesterday, but I didn't get to see. I watched some of it before I went to bed. I can't wait to watch the rest. Next week's is going to be bananas. Oh, they also showed Antonio Callaway, trying not to tell anyone in the organization what happened. Todd Haley can tell. He goes, you look like a sad puppy. What's going on? He goes, nothing. On the sidelines, Mike Haley goes, he just kept staring at me. He goes, something's up. What's up?
What?
He goes, nothing. And then you hear Liev Schreiber.
Sometimes the burden of a secret can weigh heavily on you.
I love Liev Schreiber's voice. He's so good. Just like, I don't care about him as Ray Donovan anymore. I only care about him as Hard Knocks voice guy.
That's all.
Wait a minute. Dell, I feel like you need to be part of this too, even though you're trying to check out since tomorrow's your last day. For about
Dell's,
3 weeks.
He's a short timer. I mean, honestly. You going to get anything out of Dell these next 2 days?
Unlikely.
Anything?
Unlikely.
Look, I wrote a sports map article yesterday. I'm done.
That was it.
That was the last contribution.
By the way, I won't have one this week because I'm off.
Oh. And I won't have one next week because I'm off.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Good, guys.
Yeah. So.
So he goes, So I got to know, what are your thoughts on West Virginia giving their basketball teams their basketball team, Sweet 16 rings. That is so... Now, I'm hoping that is a Sweet 16 thing, that all the teams did it. That's what somebody told me yesterday, but then I'm finding out now, that guy was a West Virginia fan who was lying. That is not accurate.
West Virginia fans would not lie, first of all.
Okay.
Secondly, everyone... If you make it... What about NCAA tournament rings? What about third place... Conference tournament rings. Third place conference tournament rings.
University of Houston got a ring after winning in the first round.
Well,
they got we made it to the second round rings,
The conference tournament.
No, of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, when King,
all right,
King the,
okay,
in the North,
round of 32 rings. What you got? You're opposed to these?
I am opposed to them. And the Sweet 16. You know what? Final Four. You want to get a ring for Final Four? I'm good with that. For Sweet 16. That's very participation trophy.
It kind of is.
I'm not a fan.
But West Virginia can't be that soft that they would do that.
Well, they tweeted it from their account.
Yeah, I saw that. It is unfortunate. I don't know.
It's just like when we made fun of the wild card banner, like Drayton McClain. Get the wild card banner printed up. Did you do a wild card banner?
What about the Colts AFC championship game flag?
They were finalists.
AFC championship finalists. You get them for division championship. I guess you get one for a division if you want. I mean, that's up to you. Texans, I feel like that's a big deal for the Texans. But also, no, you have to be the AFC champion to put one up. And then you can get a Super Bowl. You can't be AFC runner-up.
Won the AFC South 2 years in a row.
That's accurate.
Well,
Bill O'Brien was in a good mood yesterday. He was not happy after Monday's practice. I can tell you.
Don't really care what you say.
I went out to the practice yesterday, and he was much happier. Deshaun Watson in red zone work was unbelievable. His accuracy, pinpoint accuracy, and I mean tight
and
windows.
And isn't that supposed to be a flaw of his?
It's supposed to be one of his.
I saw that you put that out there, and then you had a 50 TD season hashtag.
He had his 50 TD season.
Yeah, season. 50 TD season you had as a hashtag.
Did I have that?
Well, maybe I did.
Yeah, you had that.
Maybe I retweeted it.
Yeah, you retweeted it and you put that. I was like, you put that. No, he. So one of his weaknesses, one of his areas that he needed to work on was ball placement. His ball placement, at least yesterday, and it could be good at Clemson too. I mean, you know, you look at some of the quarterbacks who've come out recently. I think Mitch Trubisky can put it in. His ball placement can be really good. Goff's can be. Wentz's can be. It needs to get better for Darnold. Rosen's can be a little hit or miss. Josh Allen's is not great. Lamar Jackson's is not great. Baker's can be really good at times. But it was just inconsistent with Deshaun. But yesterday, Deshaun was putting him in windows. Like Vincent Smith, who's the undrafted free agent from Limestone, he had a catch that was phenomenal where the only guy that could have made catch, and I mean, he had coverage all over him. And I was like, holy crap, great catch, great throw. Then he threw one to Sammy Coates that was equally great with his throw. Then he had another one that Sammy should have had. And then I think the defensive back made a play on it. But, I mean, those throws in the tight windows of the red zone, see, that's what Matt Schaub could go up and down the field for 4,000 yards passing and be a pretty good passer on that offense. But the thing that broke down about Gary Kubiak's offense and Kyle Shanahan's, that play action – boot action, multi-leveled passing attack, is it when you have a quarterback who doesn't have a lot of arm talent, Matt Schaub didn't have the confidence to throw it in tight windows. So they had to run. That's why Andre Johnson was never going to get red zone touchdowns very often. Deshaun Watson, he had a low velocity at the combine. Like the thought was, ooh, his velocity is way low. Like he doesn't have arm strength. But when you watched him on tape, you could see he had adequate arm strength. Deshaun Watson has the confidence to put it in tight quarters, and he has an offense in Bill O'Brien's that allows him better opportunities.
And I think the assumption has been from a lot of people. Now, every preseason preview has been, if Deshaun Watson is healthy, blah, 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 right?
Right.
If J.J. Watt is healthy. But Deshaun Watson, for the most part, if there's one guy, if you can only pick one guy to stay healthy this year, it would be Deshaun Watson.
100%.
But the assumption, too, has been, well, defenses are probably going to catch. They only had seven games. Defenses will probably catch up to him. Why is it that he can't get better? Why is it that, wait a minute, he may be better. Why? Because he was so good?
Well, this is
that week, it's going to be impossible for him to be better?
Okay, so this is, no, you're right. So he made some bad mistakes with turnovers where he could get better. Now, some of those passes, like the slip screen to Will Fuller that turned into a touchdown a couple times, they may not be touchdowns this year. So his touchdowns per game may actually go down, but his level of play could go up where the Texans become. I was thinking about it yesterday about Jacksonville, that I think they're clearly the best team in the division. And so I started thinking about this. Deshaun, six games. It's not a stretch to say 5-1. But at least 4-2. They should have been at least 4-2. And there were there's a few tough games in there. I mean, Tennessee Titans, they beat by like 50. They put 50 on them. So if you're 4-2, if that becomes the norm, the 4-2, you know, it doesn't take much for you to see that's a 10, maybe even 11 win season. I mean, that's got a chance to win the division. I mean, you got a real shot.
By the way, off the top of your head, what was Jacksonville's record last year?
10-6.
10-6.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost their last two games. I think they probably were, I don't know, they were cruising in or whatever. But they weren't a dominant football. That's not a dominant football team.
It's a dominant defense with a good running back and a quarterback who could, I felt like that team should have done everything they could to get Kirk Cousins. Although, I don't know how he would have done in that locker room. I think he would have peed all over himself.
759 ESPN. Well, yeah. Oh, good Lord.
That's a rough locker room.
759 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I got to talk right now about Jeff Aronoff, my man, over at Absolute Marble and Granite. He is ready for you. The kids are going back to school today, as a matter of fact, right? Is today the first day of school?
Today is in Fort Bend.
Today is the first day of school in a lot of places. And here's the deal is if the kids will be out of the house, this is a great time for Jeff Aronoff to come and work on your house with the kids not around. He can put in that new countertop. If you've been pining, ladies, for a new countertop for how long? Or guys, if you've been begging your wife to please, can we get a new countertop here? Let Jeff Aronoff get this done for you. And if she's like, I don't know about, well, Jeff Aronoff knows about it. He can pick that. You know, he's got the book with all of the different countertops that you can possibly use. He does this every single day. A new vanity. If at your business, your counters suck and you need new countertops, you got to fix it. This is what the people see when they come and buy whatever wares you're selling. If you're looking for that guy that can fix up that outdoor, that can fix up that countertop, that vanity, whatever it is, call Jeff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.